My guest is actress Clarice Taylor. You may know her as Cliff Huxtable's mother on The Bill Cosby Show. But now she's playing everybody's mom in her new off-Broadway play about the life of black comedian Moms Mabley. Moms Mabley died in 1975 when she was 81. On stage, Moms broke up audiences with her racy jokes about men and her fictional conversations with world leaders. Moms had been performing for more than 50 years before she was discovered by white audiences. She was a longtime headliner at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, and that's where Clarice Taylor first saw her.
I was sitting in the Apollo many times when she would be performing. She's one of my stars. You know, in those days, we had something like the Chitlin Circuit, you know, TOBA, Theater Owners Booking Association. They were the ones that booked colored acts because we couldn't go down to downtown. We had no artists down there, and we were not welcome. You see, they were our stars long before they became, they did the crossover.
So you used to sit in the audience and laugh
and fall out. And we just... You know, you just always knew Moms Mabley, that's all. And if somebody heard a joke, they'd say, did you hear the latest Moms Mabley joke? And they would tell you that. And even if you'd heard it, you'd still laugh and say, well, yeah, but did you hear this one? And then they would tell you another one. And it was a lot of, that's the way it was.
She developed this reputation as kind of being a dirty old lady, you know, and being raunchy. But
no, wait a minute, just hold it here. This is, you're right. But in those days, raunchy was not what's raunchy in these days. She was a Sunday school teacher when you hear her records compared to what you hear now. She never used a dirty word. She never talked about her personals like you just hear right out now. And she did do double innuendo things. And we thought that was so risque. We thought they were. And they were in those days. You couldn't repeat her jokes just openly. Of course, today you could say them in Sunday school.
Her whole stage presence, wearing the baggy dress and the hat.
And the big shoes always on the wrong foot. And the colorful stockings.
Was this the persona that she always had on stage, even when she started way back at the time when she was...
As far back as I can remember. Mm. As far back, she always had these... I didn't remember her wearing a wig, because I guess that was just something that happened before I was born. And I think her wig and her... I got that she did blackface. I got that from my research. And I got the wig from my research. But I don't remember ever seeing her in a red wig.
How much research did you have to do to...
I worked on this about 2-3 years before I even got it into any condition.
Did you find out things that you hadn't expected about her?
I certainly did. I didn't expect anything. You know, when you have an idol, you don't expect... You don't think whether they're married or whether they maybe sometimes have to have a cold. Or you just don't think of things like that. But then when I went to a bookstore, you know, and just, we go to the big New York bookstore and says, I would like to have all the books that you have on Moms Mabley. He said, there are none.
Mm.
Then I said, well, okay, you know, that didn't discourage me. So I went flying up to the Schomburg Library, which have all the data, all the books on all the blacks, nothing. And I finally traced down some old jets that I found in the jet that she had been raped at 11 years old and that she had 3 daughters.
There's a little scene that you do in the play where her family is really expressing disapproval of her.
Her brother, yes. Her brother was the one that disapproved of her doing... wearing blackface with the big lips and all. And he came and asked her to change her name.
You know, as much personal tragedy as Moms Mabley went through, you never had any indication of it when she was on stage.
Never. And this is what our story is about. That, you know, you don't even think of people that make you laugh, that whether they're just coming from burying their own child, their only child, or whether they've just been mugged or just had, you know, unless they're sick enough to go to the hospital. You never know what tragedy, but yet you got to go out and you have to be funny, and you have to do it.
The audience itself that comes to see the play, what a wide range of people. You've got elderly black people, elderly white people, young white people, young black people. Yes. I mean, what was it about Moms that made her so popular straight across the board?
You know, I didn't realize that she was so loved until I started in this project. You know, people meet me on the street and they come like this, can I kiss you? Moms, can I kiss you? Oh, I knew Moms Mabley. I love Moms Mabley. And the young people in the audience, when they meet me afterward, they said, I'm bringing my mother. My mother had those records. And my father. And I'll be back. I'm bringing my family. Because Moms, they have told me all their my life about Moms.
She also never seemed to forget her roots, even though she would drive her Rolls Royce into Harlem, you know, to buy the collard
every week. Every week she came into Harlem to buy. This I got from her children, that and her housekeeper also.
There is a little section that you do about when she's in Harlem and she is mugged. Essentially, she gets held up.
Oh,
you know that one?
Yeah. This handsome young man meets her on the street. He says, you Moms Mabley? She said, yes. And he said, well, Moms, you got to help me. I ain't got no money. I ain't got no mother. I ain't got no father. I ain't got no place to stay. I ain't got none in this world but this gun. And I had to help him. And then he went to searching all over me, and I said, oh, son, please, I didn't give you every penny I had, but if you hit one more spot, I'm going to write you a check.
You know, I had no idea she was so politically aware.
Oh, yes, and she did stand on the street corners with Adam Clayton Powell, you know. And got him elected. I mean, helped to get him elected. She was very staunch. And she would talk about Khrushchev and Castro. And she would just tell it in such a humorous way.
Didn't she have a routine about how she wasn't going to be leaving her job at the UN because she had to be there to hold the door open when the Russians walked out?
Right. See, was it? Yeah.
There seems to be some similarities between your own career and Mom's career. You've had a very distinguished career in the theater. On television, everybody knows you now as Bill Cosby's mother on the Cosby Show. And it seems like you're gaining a bit of national importance now, rather late in life, just like Moms.
Isn't that nice?
It is nice.
I love it. It's just like you've just been through a long training period and you suddenly feel like you're going to get a degree. I love it because I think things happen to you when you're ready for them. I think it's just almost a punishment for things to happen. And I have had the good fortune to have been able to make a living at my craft. And this is not always. Do you know 90% of actors out of work at any given moment? Mm. There's only very few of us that get through. And I worked for the government for 20 years.
You did?
While I was doing theater. I worked from 12 at night till 8:30 in the morning. I ran and did theater all day and rehearsed and so forth. I never had any sick leave, never had any vacation. Everything was used up in the theater. So I just feel like those were wonderful years. I made a living, and I don't make as much. I didn't make as much money then as I'm making now, but remember, this is only money. I still was on the stage doing what I love to do.
Mm-hmm. Clarice Taylor, thank you so much for talking with us today.
My pleasure.
Clarice Taylor is currently appearing in the off-Broadway production of Moms at the Astor Place Theater in New York City. One footnote. Clarice Taylor first appeared as Moms Mabley in a play written by Alice Childress, which was performed at the Hudson Guild Theater. The play was commissioned by Clarice Taylor. The play, now at the Astor Place Theater, was written by Ben Caldwell. Alice Childress claims that this current production plagiarizes her original work. When we spoke to Miss Taylor, she said that the original play written by Miss Childress is fiction, while the new play sticks to the facts. At this time, no legal action is planned by Ms. Childress. This is Fresh Air.